conversation about the woman at the well. I just thought, you never know with the prayers and the, you know, the prayers in the lectionary are set up, you know, years and years and years in advance. But then the collect today just kind of spoke to me. Almighty God, who sees that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, keep us outwardly in our body and in our souls, that we be defended from all adversities which happen to the body. You know, that idea of the balance between caring for ourselves and not giving in to those things that rob our very spirits, and what an appropriate collect for this time. The other thing is, I think we should rewrite the Exodus passage. And the Israelites came to Costco, and there was no bottled water. And they said unto the manager, "Give us bottled water."
Yeah. I was thinking of that when I was reading.
And the manager said, "I will go to the storehouse and see what's there."
Take it off the truck.
Take it off the truck, exactly. That's a fascinating passage. Some scholars believe that it may be an example of the first artesian well, that somehow Moses striking the rock cracked open something and the water just flowed out. The way that God works through providence to bring about faith. The other thing, Massa and Meribah, means to quarrel and to test. They're two Hebrew verbs, to quarrel and to test. You might know that the Chinese character for a crisis is opportunity. A chance, opportunity, and crisis together. You know, that idea of merging things. So anyway, many different things to think about. This is a great opportunity to have kind of a Bible study sermon today. Not that you come and now you have to work for things. But I'd love to hear what some of your impressions or thoughts are about this passage. The Samaritan woman at the well is unique to John. It only appears in John. And it's the longest conversation Jesus has recorded with anyone in Scripture. It's just the woman and Jesus. Very unusual story. But what are some of the details, as I was reading and as you were following along, that leapt off the page or that struck you as unusual or different or provocative? That's all very provocative.
She's a Samaritan, and she's a woman. She's unaccompanied.
Right.
She's not even married.
Supposed, right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in those days, I think everything about it would have been inappropriate.
Yeah.
I've always been drawn to this passage, and I don't know why. I just love it, and I'm not sure why. But again, it's that issue where you said she's a woman and she's not. Mary, although she's trying to pull one over on him, and he just comes right back at her.
Yes.
She's kind of snotty in the first part.
Well, enough.
And very more. Well, more,
she's tough.
But she knows her place and his place.
Yes. Yeah, I think what you're picking up on, there's all of this intuition going through.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the bat, I think, you know, Jesus doesn't have very good manners. Because what does he say? Give me a drink. You know, it's like, wench. You know, I mean, it's at the bar. Give me a drink. You know, he doesn't even say, please. You know, and right off the bat, he's very provocative. And so I think that they somehow, they sense about each other that they're tough but then kind. There's something about that. Yeah, that's very good. Yes, she's alone, unescorted. And she's forced to get water in the middle of the day when it's blazing hot, not early in the day, which is when women would gather water, when it's cooler, because she's an outcast. What else about this passage that does it speak to you? Or what else?
Very tall this year.
Right. Yes, unusual. We don't know why. Is it deaths? Is it divorces? Which would have been multiple divorces then? Would have been, yeah.
Can they just get divorces?
Yeah, well, we're not sure. But, The rabbis would not have encouraged multiple divorces, that's for sure. And then there's that very quizzical, the one you have now is not your husband, and she kind of does the double, yeah, which is a little, again, that's a little random.
That implies that maybe she had five partners, but they weren't formally married.
Well, that could also be, that's another reading, right? Yeah.
So if she calls the present guy her husband and they're not formally married,
right,
what does that imply about the previous?
Yeah. Lots of questions. Yeah.
I got a big thing about the fact that she was a Samaritan. Understand, John was one of the last apostles around, and he was having a difficult time kind of organizing things, and that he sort of started conversing with the Samaritans.
Yes, the Samaritans were a separate group of Jews who worshiped at Samaria. They had their own temple at Gerizim, and they had their own worship structure. And there was a lot of animosity between the Jerusalem Jews and the Samaritan Jews as to who was right and proper. Luke has the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is another way of trying to reach out to draw them in. And this story, there's the question later on where the woman says, it raises the issue of true worship. We worship here, but you are from Jerusalem. And Jesus then says in John's Gospel, the day is coming when all will worship in spirit and truth. So that the locations in Judaism and its proper worship requirements, they're not going to matter because he, of course, is Messiah. So you're right that she's a Samaritan, they are the outcast, and she's an outcast among outcasts. In this story, she's a double outcast.
Has ever seen to hang around for 2 days?
Yes, after the revelation. Yes, exactly. Cheryl.
She challenges him. Most people listen to him and took him to heart, and she challenges him. And he goes, of course, goes back.
Right. They seem not to be afraid to engage. At a level that's really quite intimate. This is a very intimate story when you think about it. I mean, here they are, two people, nobody that is, and John gives you the stage directions. The disciples have gone off for food. You see, he's giving you the information that has it within the parentheses so that you understand the circumstances exactly. The other interesting thing we lose completely in the Greek from the English is when Jesus says, I am he, the one who's speaking to you. There is no pronoun. The verb is simply, I am the one speaking. It's hard to translate it. It's a structure of the Greek. It's just simply the indefinite verb to be. I am the one speaking. So it doesn't have the specificity that he actually says, I am Messiah. As if to say, the word is what will bring you to faith. And that's what converts her at the end when the other Samaritans say, it's not just by what you have said, it's now by what you have felt and believed that we have come to believe. It's all full of surprises. Because isn't it ironic? The Samaritan woman at the end ends up acknowledging and running back and saying, I found Messiah. This must be he, because he knows everything about my life. He knows me deeply, very deeply, not just superficially. It's a great, great story for all kinds of reasons.
Is it unusual for Jesus to identify himself? It seems as though there are times in the Bible when they say, are you the Messiah? He doesn't want to say, but to her, she said she's waiting, and he says,
yes, yeah, I am.
I am, right.
Yeah, it is unusual, right. And it's never, Jesus never says clearly anywhere, I am the Messiah. I'm the Son of Man, I'm the one who's called, that kind of thing. Remember last week we had Nicodemus come in. See, this Nicodemus comes at night. Jesus doesn't reveal to Nicodemus directly anything. And yet to this woman, now this is the first kind of acknowledgement in John's Gospel that Jesus is Messiah, and even then he does it obliquely. by all by this dialogue, by drawing her in. He doesn't flat out say
right.
at the beginning, "Yes, I'm the Messiah, and I can get you all the water you want." See, he doesn't say that. He, you know, and there's that other. She's hoping somehow that she's going to be relieved of getting water. So at the beginning, she's thinking quite literally, and then she points out, "You don't have a bucket," and she doesn't offer to use her water jar. You don't even have a bucket, and you're telling me about water. You know, I mean, it's so rich in the.
It's very human.
It's very
human. To react that way.
Yeah. Or you're gonna get your bucket, big guy. You know, like. I mean, John is a grandeur. There's a real majesty to John's gospel. And some people say it's not as human as the other Gospels, but yet there are these very human incidents that when you get beneath the words, you can see it. Nicodemus was very human. How can such things be? You know, I'm more confused than when I started. And now we have the woman at the well and Jesus sparring with each other. And it is very human in a way that draws you in. John doesn't just simply slap the facts down. John wants you to be engaged with this, with the story. And so how he tells it is different from the others. Any other last thoughts, Ed?
Two questions. What were they doing wandering around in Samaria?
Well, good question. Luke has them wandering around a bit in Samaria. They were perhaps just testing their fortunes, seeing who might befriend them, who might take them in. There were certain conversations between the Jews of Jerusalem and the Jews of Samaria. John's not explicit about that. They just kind of appear there.
The question is, I read a lot, but I don't always be able to pronounce the words that I read. You said they worshiped at Essus?
It's transliterated Gerizim. 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 They had a temple at Gerizim, which was a part of Samaria, not far from Jerusalem.
Yeah,
Gerizim. Arrival cult, arrival temple. I suppose someday people will look at Christians and say, jeepers, there was the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, and we were similar, but our differences, that kind of thing.
Are the Samaritans around today? Are they surviving?
There are, I believe, I'd have to check, but as far as I know, there's a small group of Samaritan Jews that still are faithful and have their own version of Holy Days and Scripture. Much as Judaism is Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, there are branches and sects of Judaism, much like there are in Christianity. But there are still Samaritan Jews. Very good. Well, it's a great gospel for Bible study and for pondering as we go through the day, especially as we go through the next few weeks. So,